My name is Blanche Wiesen Cook, and I'm happy to follow Carol Smith Rosenberg because I want to continue this. And I think that what you just said, Linda, about the blindness that we need to explore is your blindness. I think you'd be surprised to know that some of us think your paper is heterosexist and homophobic. I think it's heterosexist and homophobic. And I think that because you exclude the fact that there were a whole bunch of women who talked about pleasure with other women. You exclude that as you emphasize the heterosexual, you know, moral reform movement. And there is no, I mean, there's a kind of almost ahistoricism here. Your only mention of lesbian, the genuine lesbian, you say, is the passing woman. And so you exclude from your entire vision all of those perfectly ordinary or even admired women that we've been writing about. I just gave you the example. You said there were genuine lesbians, for instance, the passing woman. And then you went on to orgasms, heterosexual orgasms. Do you see? I mean, we don't like that in my crowd. Can I make one other point? Just a very quick point. You then go on to the sexual radicals, those great women like Crystal Eastman and Ida Rao and the new women, and you say they. You say they are the women who talk about women loving relations as adolescents. Now that is absolutely untrue, and I'd love to see your evidence of that.
Well, I just want to ask a question about your first question. I do not know of any 19th century feminists who discussed sexual pleasure among women, and that's what I meant when I asked you for an example. I'm really seriously confessing ignorance.
I wrote an article in which I quote at length from Lillian Wald's letters and from letters to Lillian Wald. They're very specific letters that are sexual.
All right. You got beeped. You got beeped. So it's
I got beeped.
Okay. Well, I think this is an extremely complicated and important nugget in the debate that's taking place a lot among historians, but it has extreme significance for all of us in theorizing these questions. It's very hard to answer, but my answer would go something like this, that it involves distinguishing the realm of experience and the realm of language, articulation, politics, and power. And it's something like this, that for better or for worse, as I think I would argue Michel Foucault points out, sex is moved into the realm of power, and that's Hortense was talking about this somewhat. We really are not in a position to kind of retreat from that and go back to the unarticulated, unlanguaged, unpolitical realm of sex. So the question is not what people experienced, which is the relationship between experience and language and intellectual systems is itself extremely complex. Can people experience things that there are not names for? That's already a question that needs to be addressed. But
you mean there were no medieval lesbians because there's no medieval word for the word?
Blanche, I'm really trying to answer a serious intellectual question, and I don't... Well, you're...
So am I.
Okay. Well, you're turning it into a silly position, and I don't think it's a silly position. I think what we're addressing is the failure, and it's not a personal failure, the fact that this prior generation of feminists did not name, theorize, or politicize sex between women, and that was left to us. The question is, there are different positions about whether the naming, the theorizing, and the politicizing of sex is a good or a bad thing. But that's what we're addressing.